Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for your many blessings, and thank you, God, for the opportunity to be a blessing. And thank you, Lord, for this church family who has faithfully supported the work of the CMA, who generously gives to the work in the local school, who has a heart for wanting to reach people not only here in Australia but overseas as well. And I pray, Lord, in their generosity and in their commitment to that you would continue to enable them to be people who would be people of the Scripture, who would hold to the truth of the Word of God, but also have open arms to welcome those who come to Canberra, who are new to Canberra, who are looking for a church family, but also, Lord, to share the gospel and invite people to respond to the gospel and to become part of your kingdom. We thank you, Lord, for your incredible work here. As we open the Word together now, we just pray, Lord, on a familiar theme, that you would give us something fresh to ponder today. We pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is The Heartbeat of Our Nation. What is the heartbeat of the Christian and Missionary Alliance? If nothing else, it is missions. The deeper life and missions are the two legs of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. So mission is our middle name, as I'm reminded by Roy most times I see him. So how do we take the gospel to the whole world and at the same time stay true to the Bible's teaching and also be people of obedience to the Scripture, people of humility, people of genuine love for all people, and retain our desire to be those who would desire to see people come to Jesus Christ right here and overseas at the same time? In order to answer that question, we need to consider just a couple of things quickly. First of all, Jesus Christ, our example. Jesus is our example. We need to see the world, friends, through Jesus' eyes and through his ministry and through his work. Take a fresh look and read the book of Mark and notice the things that are happening there. As Mark describes Jesus' ministry, it's going here, it's going there, it's interacting with this person, interacting with that person. And in the word immediately appears 46 times in the book of Mark. So it's happening. Rapid pace. And I mentioned earlier, this church is a wonderful heritage of faithful service, preparing people for ministry, loving people, loving God, and a desire to be the church. And I love that heritage. But friends, good things that God has done, yes, they need to be celebrated, but let's not stop. Let's not stop. Let's keep going with the good things that God is calling us to. There is always the important issue of who's going to reach this generation. So what are we to be on about as a church family? Jesus shows us something of a model of ministry. Are we to grow happy and chummy and just to be a society of friends? Well, I hope not. Yes, we want to be friends. Yes, we want to be a church family. But there is more to the Christian life than that. I'm not here to challenge you to be followers of Ken or of anybody else, nor am I here today to sell you anything. That which we refer to as salvation is a gift. You can't buy it, neither can you earn it. It's not a reward for being a good guy or a good girl. It's not something that the church has to even peddle, as it were. In fact, salvation is not for sale. It's given away. It's given away. It is the gift of God. So what is it that you and I are called to as God's church? It is not religion. It is not the church that I present before people. As a believer, as a follower of Jesus, I don't present before people the idea of religion or of just the church, because people's idea of the church usually means stained glass windows and a particular format of church. When I'm talking to people, I want to talk to them about Christ. In Islamic circles in particular, this is very, very important. We talk about being followers of Isa. The Arabic word for Jesus. And they understand what it means if you say you're a follower of Isa, because Isa is mentioned many, many, many times in the Quran. Now, the Jesus I follow and the Jesus I see in the New Testament is not a pale, weak, mamby-pamby Jesus. It's not the gentle Jesus, meek and mild, that we sometimes see pictured or painted on some of our books and some of our teaching materials. Have a look at the Christ of the Gospels. It describes a Jesus who is striding up and down dusty, busy streets in Palestine, most likely suntanned, maybe even sunburned, bronzed, resolute, fearless, purposeful. I imagine Jesus to have knuckles on it and strong hands and even calluses on his fingers from his carpentry work. Jesus was a carpenter, right? He earned his keep. Imagine if Jesus hits his finger with a hammer. What would he say? I don't know. But the Christ who upset money lenders in the temple, and who would shout at them, you know, my house will be called a house of prayer, and you lot are making it into a den of robbers. The Christ who had a good time at weddings, enjoyed the party atmosphere, and who would not allow the host to be embarrassed running short of drink. Christ who loved people, all kinds of people. The teacher who shared in simple language and in parables with all kinds of people the true nature of God and of his kingdom. The Christ who would call a spade. He would let the chips fall where they may, particularly with the religious establishment of the day. The Christ who walked the streets of the city, stopping here and there as he passed by, interacting with all sorts of people. And he went to places, friends, where you and I could possibly ill afford to be seen, and he was glad to be there. How many of you have interacted with or talked to or prayed for a prostitute this week? How many of you have interacted... Has anybody worked for the tax office? No, how many of you have interacted or talked with the tax collector this week? You know, some of the folks that Christ ministered to and talked to, we don't tend to have anything to do with those people. The kind of people Jesus spent time with were not the kind of people the average churchgoer in Western society has time for at all. And if we were, if CNN News was around interviewing people in Jerusalem in that day, I reckon the report would have said something like this: 12 men of Middle Eastern appearance seen walking the streets of Jerusalem. I don't think Jesus had blue eyes. I don't think Jesus was blonde. I think Jesus would look very Middle Eastern. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief and having no beauty that men would desire him. I think when we meet Jesus, we'll meet a guy who's an average Middle Eastern looking person. And think of the people who were close to him, his personal friends, his team, his mission team, various disciples, fish merchants, unpopular tax collectors, a Pharisee who had his life radically changed. We refer to him as the Apostle Paul. Mary Magdalena, a woman from whom seven demons was cast out. Joanna, the wife of Herod's manager. And later he calls into the church, Romans, centurions, peasants, Gentiles, widows, politicians, wealthy and poor. You know, there are countless people like that in Canberra today. They fit that kind of ilk. And we must engage and invite the misfits, the lost, the lonely, the marginalized to be part of our circle, involved and welcome in the church, so that we can introduce them to Jesus Christ, not only in this building and as you live your lives everywhere else throughout this week. That's our core business, because Jesus loves people. And if we love people as Jesus loves people, then we can be involved in the spreading of the gospel and seeing people give their lives to him and becoming a part of the kingdom. You know, people we might have to think twice about before cultivating a friendship, they need to hear about Jesus too. He wants them to come and to find salvation. They're ordinary people with one central need, which we all have, which is we all need a Saviour to reconcile us to God. Jesus sought out these ordinary people. He spent time with them. He ate with them. He had compassion on them. He wept with them. He served them. He healed their bodies. He told them about his heavenly Father in parables, in ways in which they could understand the truth about God. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, he said, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Yes, that he was. But that was in order that our joy might be full. That is the Christ we read of. That is the Christ we need to share with people as God brings people across our path. If Jesus were here today, he would hold out those big carpenter's hands and he'd stretch them out in welcome. And I was sharing with the Vietnamese church on Easter Sunday about the cross. The open arms of Jesus, not only for the suffering for our sin, but also welcome arms as well. Jesus has open arms. He just wants to take his people, his children. And I'm looking forward to the day when we're in glory together. What will it be like to meet or to be around Jesus? Wouldn't that be something? Can we see the Christ of the Gospels as we read? The Jesus whom we follow and the Jesus whom we should be sharing. You see, the Bible tells us that we are separated from God and we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of God's glory. And the wages for that, the compensation we get for that is death. But Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. For those who do not believe in Christ, death has only one result. Scripture says in Matthew 25, "Then he shall say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.'" You know, and how do people live today? We act as if we have plenty of time. Life is just one rolling party in Western society. Go on our way, do our own thing. Most have no regard for God. The lost live as if they are in fact God of their own lives. Death is a faraway concept for many. And people are on about the environment and things that are side issues today, focusing on the creation rather than on the Creator. Now, in my younger days, I went on the protest for the proposed Franklin River dams. Anybody remember those days? Bob Hawke was Prime Minister. That's how long ago it was. You know, I was a greenie in that sense. I've eaten lentils. I've gone without a bath for a week. I've climbed Mount Anne. I've been in Peter Dombrowski's homes. Anybody know who Peter Dombrowski is? Yeah, fabulous photographer, eh? Wildlife photographer. And at that meeting, by the way, I'd never vote Green today, by the way. The Green Party is not about green stuff. It's about everything else that we would be just horrified if it was introduced in our society. But at the inaugural meeting of the Wilderness Society, we met all these people who had all these causes. A lot of them were what we might classify as left-wing causes. A lot of them were causes we wouldn't want to have anything to do. So I'm not in the Greens today, although I am green. And yes, friends, we should care about the earth. We should be God's administrators, says Genesis, right? We should care about the earth. We see a whale beached. We should try and roll it back into the water, right? You should do things like that. But that's not the purpose of life. That's not why we're here. To administer the earth is not why we live. We live to worship God, who is the Creator, and to be in relationship with Him. You know, people, we want more and more rights. And you know what? There are trees that have more rights in this country than a child in the mother's womb. And bald eagle's eggs in the United States today have more rights than a fetus in a mother's womb. What a strange mob human beings are. People are lost, and most don't even know it. And many who may know it seem not to care. You know, an atheist once said, "Contemporary unbelief is no longer skepticism in the presence of miracles. It is a passionate desire for unbelief." What he means by that is they can see a miracle, but they're still going to say, "I will not believe because I am boss of my life." It's willful. How do you communicate the gospel with people like that? I think people in Australia need to see a genuine expression of positive Christianity. Because in the media, there are not demonstrations of positive Christianity. The media just loves to slam the church. And unfortunately, the church and church members give the media the fodder to slam the church with. I won't mention the particular issue, which is high in the news these days. You see, yet all these people around us are the very same people Christ came and died for to reconcile them in relationship with God, like us. To restore them into relationship with the Father, to offer them eternal life, if they would accept by faith that Jesus was God's only means of reconciliation. People are facing life without Jesus. People are facing death without Jesus. Do we care? Jesus died for sinners like you and me. Jesus died to save us from the wrath of God. Jesus died so that we could have peace with God and restored relationship with God, be forgiven for sin. Jesus died to offer us eternal life. Now, I've had the great joy of knowing that salvation, and I trust so had the vast majority of you here today. But we are surrounded by people who either know little of that or who struggle with accepting that message because of the way Christians live. Jesus is our example, our message, and our Saviour. Let's look at this one briefly. Our CMA heritage, you know, Christians are often known by their various groups, by their method, for example. A group of Christians known by their method would be called the Methodists, okay? That's where it comes from. Or by their founder's name, the Lutherans from Luther, the Wesleyans from Wesley. Good thing we're not given to that in the Christian and Missionary Alliance. A few years ago, the president of the CMA in the US was David Rambo. So, and the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance was a family called the Simpsons. So you are a part of a church today started by the Simpsons and at one time led by Rambo. But in the Christian and Missionary Alliance, you know, we have a great heritage of planting churches, establishing stable godly leadership, starting Bible colleges for the training of Christians and for the training of leaders, of missionaries who have left their host culture and gone into other cultures where life is not as easy, with one purpose of sharing the good news of reconciliation with God through Jesus Christ with those who have not heard. That is the heart of our mission. And you know, there are something like 1,600 missionaries serving worldwide in the CMA in 90-odd countries. And some of you too, even in this church, as in the churches I was in just a few weeks ago, the Chinese churches, the Vietnamese churches, and the Hmong church, some of you may be a part of God's family because of the work of Christian missionaries. The Hmong church in Cairns is full of people who came to Jesus under Christian and Missionary Alliance aid programs run in the hill country between Laos and China. They came to Christ, they were accepted as refugees in our country, and they're now reaching people in Cairns. Amazing. So in Australia we have many churches, and together we participate in the support of many missionaries together. But again, past glory and heritage are good to celebrate, but we don't stop there. There is the more important issue of today, and there is also the important issue of the future, the next generation. So we as a denomination need to be on our guard that we do not fall into the trap of being fat, of being satisfied and sitting and just enjoying the past. We need to be people who realize we still have a job that is not yet complete. God is at work in the hearts of people today all over the globe. Our responsibility in this generation is to continue to spread the good news of reconciliation with God through Jesus Christ. You know, our world today teaches young people and old that God doesn't exist, that they can do whatever they want. You know, that's why so many young and old make a mess of their lives, following false ideas, false hopes. I'm glad you read from Tozer today, brother. That's great, because I'm going to read from Tozer today. Listen to what Tozer said. A.W. Tozer said this, referring to young people, right? If they had been taught that they came into the world in the first place to worship God and to enjoy Him forever, and that when they fell, Jesus Christ came to redeem them, to make them worshippers of God, so that they could, by the Holy Spirit and the washing of blood, be made into a worshipping saint, then things would be so different in their lives. Notice the contrast. One side says, oh, you're just a highly developed ape. And the other side says, you are a special creation of God. And one side of things teaches that, you know, we can do whatever we want. We're just self-defining in that sense. It doesn't matter morally how you live. And the other side says, no, there is a God who loves you. There is a God who has a standard. There is a God who says this is the way you should go walk in it. And Tozer's right to point this out. The lives of those on this side are a total contrast to the lives of this on that side. And the trouble is these guys are not hearing what these guys have. We're not sharing that message. We need to continue to do that. You know, sometimes we get distracted into all sorts of things, but being on mission must always be a part of what the Christian and Missionary Alliance stands for. To be on mission here and overseas. Let's go to the third point quickly, our opportunity. Mission started in the heart of a loving God who seeks and saves the lost. Missions continues through His people, us being obedient to God's call to share the gospel, go into all the world, we were told. Missions involves us being close to Jesus. You and I, who know Christ, fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, it starts with us, with our relationship with Jesus, walking closely with Him day by day, repenting of our sin, feeling His heart for lost people. And friends, if we don't relate to Jesus in a personal way, how can we ever share who this Jesus is? We need to be in a deeper life walk with Jesus and to be on mission. So my closing questions for you are, do you have a burden for lost people? What about those neighbours of yours, those people down the street? What about that family that dresses different to you or who celebrates different festivals through the year that you know nothing about? Do you know them? Have you ever even smiled at them? What about Con, who owns the fruit shop, Con the Fruiterer down the road? Do you interact with them when you go there? Say good day, hello, strike a conversation with people? And I wrote Barry down at the gym. Does anybody know anybody called Barry down the gym? Coincidence if you do. What about Barry down at the gym? Or somebody in any of the various things that we might be involved with? If there was a charge placed before you that you were a Christian, would any of those people be able to be brought to the court to testify that you're a Christian? Think about that. Is there any evidence in your circle of friends that you're a Christian? It's an important question, because sometimes we go out into the world and we might as well have a full veil with a little thing on the front of it, because nobody knows that we, underneath, who we really are. Australia needs to see a positive expression of genuine Christianity. And that's only going to come through those who are genuinely, fully devoted followers of Christ, living their lives before people each day. Romans 10:14-15, and with this we'll close. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And now, how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Brothers and sisters, do you have beautiful feet? Father God, I want to thank you for this congregation, and I thank you, God, that for their heart. I thank you, God, for their generosity. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to enable them to be people who would be people who are followers of Christ, that they might be able to testify through every portion of their life that they are indeed followers of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you give each and every one opportunities to share who Jesus is to them. I pray, Father, that you would continue to grow this church family. I pray, Father, you continue to use all of us in this local church, in the Christian Missionary Alliance, in Christian churches all over this country, to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim forgiveness of sins, to proclaim the Saviour, to proclaim the opportunity of eternal life and restoration with a loving God. So, Father, in all things, we acknowledge our need. We acknowledge, Lord, that we dare not move forward unless we know the empowering presence and gifting of your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to be in deep relationship with you. Help us, Lord, to realize that mission is on your heart, and mission must be on our heart as well as followers of Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for the great commission that you've given to us, that you love people and you choose to use your people to be a blessing to other people. Enable us, Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you very much.